So let's begin with a little bit of a history lesson. When we were all in school, we learned about the Pilgrims. When they came to America, when they went through hard times, they befriended the Indians, who taught them how to survive in this land. So when the first day of harvest came, the Pilgrims and the Indians sat down together for a big meal to celebrate their survival with friends who had helped them. And this, as we were told, was the first Thanksgiving in America. They tell us that each year we now have Thanksgiving holiday to celebrate that day and the country we have as a result of it. Our school teachers, however, often fail to mention that the real reason the Pilgrims were thankfully, and even coincidentally, the reason that we even have this holiday today. For the Pilgrims knew, as we know, what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. Says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The Pilgrims knew that God provided for them, and that the true thanks for such a bountiful harvest belonged to God. They knew the Indians were one of God's ways that he had for providing for them. So this first Thanksgiving that we hear about was thanks to God for all that he had provided, for the ability of the Pilgrims to continue living here in this new world where they continue to worship him. And we can even flash forward a couple of centuries from these Pilgrims to 1863. Now, at this time, America was in the middle of probably its darkest, most destructive, and bloodiest war it had ever fought. This is a war that was tearing the country in two, where friends fought each other. This war was the deadliest America had ever had. And it was in this year, during these dark days, that Abraham Lincoln decided to proclaim a national holiday to make sure we remembered to be thankful for what we had, and not just to focus on the destruction that we had around us. In his proclamation, he made sure to remind the country to whom thanks was due. His proclamation began, "The year that is drawing to its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and heavenly skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed, that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have added, which are of extraordinary nature, that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God." Lincoln discussed the things he had to be thankful for in that time. He included things like still being able to create food in spite of the money the war had taken, having increased abundance from coal and iron mines, and a population increases in spite of the war going on around. And he said, "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Lincoln created Thanksgiving as a national holiday to give thanks to God for all the blessings that the United States had enjoyed. The holiday was created to continually remind people every year that God provides and our thanks should be to him, regardless of what circumstances we're in. With Thanksgiving today, we've certainly not often forgotten the beef part that you hear. we as a country as a whole, those who are religious and not, often remember to be thankful for friends, family, the lifestyles we have, food that we all eat on that day, and just about everything around us. For example, Facebook at this time of year is filled with posts by typically people who aren't really religious, stating the things for which they are thankful for. We are essentially filled with all this thankfulness. The people around us thinking happy thoughts about the good things going on around them. As a country on the whole, we certainly grasp that it's nice to have good things, and we really haven't lost that. However, our country has typically forgotten exactly who allows us to have all these things that we're so thankful for. The country has forgotten who it is we should be thankful to. A good portion of the thanks at this time often tend to be self-centered around things that we have, those that we have around us, or have we created for ourselves. So yes, the country is thankful, but it's lost the concept that we aren't in control of the circumstances we find ourselves in, regardless of how much we think that we are. But Lincoln, who was president of the United States, one of the more influential men in history, stated God's provision for us so much of a given that even those who didn't believe in him can't help of thinking him when they realize what blessings they have. He fully intended for that day to be a day of thankfulness to God, not just a day to be thankful. So as we are coming off this holiday, let us look from a Christian perspective at why it is God that we should continually be thankful towards, besides the fact that we just created a national holiday. As I mentioned earlier, God provides everything we need. He makes sure that we have enough to live on this earth. He provides us with food, clothing, and shelter. We can see his provision as people all throughout the Bible. He's provided needs for both the survival of the people and even for the comfort of his people throughout time, even when they didn't necessarily show regard for the blessings he gave them. Let's look at Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. Here it says, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger.' The Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in. It shall be twice as much as they gather daily.'" So even when the Israelites doubted God was able to provide for them, and even when they forgot to thank him for all that he had done, he continued to provide. So we can see in this passage from Exodus, he provided them exactly what they asked for, even as they were complaining completely about what he'd done for them up to that point. And as I said previously, he even provides for the comfort of his people. If you look in Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, this is after Jonah has, although begrudgingly, just given the Ninevites the word from the Lord that they would be destroyed. "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made for himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plan and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head and deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant." even as Jonah is essentially checking up on the work of the Lord provides him with shade to be able to do this more comfortably. If you look in our society, we often have extra money than we need, which allows us to have things like air conditioning, ability to eat any food we choose, and even to have some other people cook it for us at our expense. We have comfortable furniture. We get Wi-Fi. The list goes on and on and on. A lot of these things I just mentioned, when we think about it quickly, we often call it a necessity about life in our life. But the reality is, even without them, there are still many things we have to be thankful for that are true necessities. If we remember what happens to Jonah's plant in Jonah chapter 4, in the next verse, verse 7, God allowed a worm to come that destroyed the plant Jonah had taken comfort under. And Jonah was so upset as a result, he wished for death instead of being in the uncomfortable heat. Now, while God was making a different point to Jonah about his own right to be merciful to the Ninevites, he also was taking an opportunity to show to Jonah and to everyone that the plant that he had found comfort in was not necessary for his survival, just an extra comfort he had provided. We would do well to remember the same, that God provides us comforts often that we don't necessarily need to live in this world. Let's look again at one of the primary reasons why Lincoln created the holiday back in this dark, turbulent time of 1863. He created it to remind us, even in our dark times, even in days when we often cannot see much to be thankful for, even in a time when people without living a lot of luxuries that they had originally had, because wartime creates financial, emotional strains, and that often make people forget what are the many good things that they have to be thankful for. But as Lincoln said in his proclamation, the people still had enough food to survive, enough money to make even more food. They were finding ways to provide for an ever-increasing population. But all this, even finding our most basic needs fulfilled and provided for from God, is almost inconsequential if we compare it to the other things that God has done for us for which we should be thankful. In fact, all the other things that God does for us means that even if he didn't provide for us on this earth, there's more than enough to be thankful towards him. In Psalms 106, verse 1, David sums up these two main reasons to be thankful for God. One, that God is good, and two, he loves us. If we look in the verse, David says, "Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." David thanks the Lord for his goodness and his love. He knows two very important things about God that provide him with all the information he needs to why he should thank God. As I said before, number one, he knows that God is good. He even says it again in Psalm 145, verse 9, where he says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." And even Jesus himself talks of God's goodness in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, where Jesus, in response to somebody calling him good, said, "So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God.'" Here we see that our Heavenly Father is so good that even Jesus won't allow others on this earth to compare him to God. Now, number two, we also know, David also knew that God loves us. 1 John 4, verse 8, tells us God himself is love, that God embodies all that love is. And we're also told in John 3, verse 16, a verse that many people here probably know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I mean, this, of course, is all that should really be required for us to be thankful for to God for. We should be thankful to God simply because he sent Jesus, and through him, we have everlasting life. I mean, if anything, that's perhaps the greatest thing to be thankful for. But even if God did not provide for us on earth, he does provide for us a way for have eternal life. So, of course, for that, we should be eternally grateful. Now, even if God's providing for us here on earth and giving us a way that we can have eternal life weren't quite enough for you to decide to be thankful to God, there's something else he has. He has the ability to be merciful. He grants us the mercy, and that also allows us to make it possible for us to have eternal life. I mean, there's not one adult here who has not sinned. More often than not, even after we've been baptized, we fall short of his glory at some point or another. And God's mercy grants us the ability for us to repent of our sins and come back to him each of those times we fall short. Now let's look back at Jonah. This time let's look at it from the Ninevites' perspective. The Ninevites were proud, and overall they were very horrible people. They were so bad, in fact, that God was about ready to wholly destroy them if they refused to repent. But instead of just destroying them and not allowing them an opportunity, God sent them a messenger, though a reluctant one. He sent one of his people to speak with somebody who weren't even his chosen, and in fact had often persecuted his chosen people. And if you look in Jonah chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter on the first day's walk, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days and I'll be overthrown." Well, if we look what happens, the Ninevites immediately responded to this message. They proclaimed a fast, and they repented before the Lord. And as a result, we can see in Jonah 3, verse 10, "Then God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it." God had mercy on the Ninevites. And he has promised to have mercy on us if we'll only come to him. You could see in Psalm chapter 103, verse 11, For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him." We see that God truly is merciful, and we should thank him for that. But not only this, this time of year is often also one of the times of year that those who are typically not focused on are more open to thoughts of him. And this is not entirely surprising. Because even Lincoln said, when he set apart Thanksgiving as a specific day, in the beginning of his proclamation, that when you look for things to be thankful for, even those whose hearts are not necessarily intent on following the Lord will soften. What that means is this makes it a great time of year As many of the people around us are often considering the physical blessings they have and even being thankful for them, it's a great time for us to discuss with those people the exact reason why they have those blessings and what other blessings far greater than the world around us they can have. It's a good time to discuss with them the more important things that they have to be thankful for, because they're more often able to listen in this time of year. But as Christians, in addition to being at this time of year to remember all this, it's definitely not the only time of year we should remember to be thankful to God. Even though we do have a national holiday, a day set aside for Thanksgiving to the Lord, we aren't told by God that we should only give thanks to Him on one day, no matter what one day it is. In fact, we are told in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God Christ in Christ Jesus for you. We are to rejoice always in the Lord and give thanks for everything we have, every day that we have it, all the time, without ceasing. Now, one of the ways that's pretty easy to show how thankful we are to what God has given us is to obey His commandments that He has for us. If you're a Christian, part of obeying God is to continually to live faithfully in His commands and to repent if we do fall short. If you need the prayers of the group, you can come forward. But also, as another part of this obedience, if you're not quite a Christian, is to become one. The first step is to hear God's word, to believe what that word teaches, to confess that Jesus is Christ, to repent of those sins, and to be baptized and washed clean and free of the sins and reborn into His salvation. So if there's any today who need to follow those first steps, or if there are any who need the prayers of the group, why won't you come forward while we stand and sing?